Okay, we're talking music. This is take one.
Sunshine on my face, nothing ever could replace. Smoke is rising, feeling high, and everything is all we want. Sunshine on my skin, the soles on my shoes are wearing thin. Smoke is rising, feeling high, everything is all we've got.
Here we go!
Let the wicked wet eye fall and watch the bird from the sky and brush the dust from our eyes. Send a vision to a song, we're fighting natural law. She'll be quicker at the draw. Sunshine in her eyes, can see through a thin disguise. Feeling empty, what went wrong? Yeah. I looked away and she was gone.
Here we go!
Let the wicked weather fall and watch the blood from the sky and brush the dust from my eyes. Sent a vision to a song, we're fighting natural law. She'll be quicker at the draw. Let the wicked weather fall and watch the blood from the sky and brush the dust from my eyes. Sent a vision to a song, we're fighting natural law. She'll be quicker at the draw.
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah, that was really good.
I was just getting warmed up.
You
there.
Just started off with that too. That's crazy.
Yeah, just woke up. You just woke me up like 5 minutes ago. I had to clear out my throat.
Well, it turned out well.
Oh, thank you.
And that is Nathan McEwen that you're hearing right here on Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. He's here in the studio with us, and he's passing through this part of Colorado. And he'll be playing at the Lark and Sparrow in Montrose on Saturday the 12th. Happy to have you here.
Thank you, Allie. I'm a pleasure to be here.
So I know you have a big bus parked outside somewhere. Did you find a spot for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We finally found a spot. And so far, nobody's harassed us. It's nice.
That's good. And yeah. You've been traveling around in this bus. You told me that you actually live in that bus and that you don't have a home.
Well, I live on the road, quite literally, right now. And that's just how it is. And I bring my home with me. It's kind of nice, you know.
Yeah. Does it have everything you need in there?
Pretty much. It's not my bus. I'm lucky to have a good friend who believes in what I'm doing and gets to drive me around. And it's has everything. There's two couple bedrooms and, you know, fold-out couch, full kitchen, washer, dryer. It's crazy. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. A horn. I don't know. What else?
Yeah.
Let's see. Vacuum. You know.
You clean up in there?
All the good stuff.
Yeah. I've been in a couple tour buses where I don't feel like they do clean up in there very often.
No, it's pretty clean. Yeah.
Nice.
We try.
Where do you want to settle down for a minute if you get the chance? Like, you've been so many places. What?
So I've kind of always been a migrator. Growing up on the road with my father that plays music for a living. But part of that time was spent in Evergreen, Colorado. And I lived there for about 7 years of my life. And when I was younger, I started going to elementary school and in the formative years. So Colorado really feels like home. I plan to buy land in Clear Creek County someday.
Okay,
that's
cool.
One place. And also, I've been calling Southern California my home for a while. So I would say maybe Carpinteria, if you know where that is, mm-hmm. anyone. Carpinteria, California. I like that place a whole lot. And I was born in Salt Lake City, and I also like the Pacific Northwest. So I hope that answers kind of answers your question.
Mm-hmm. You've narrowed it down to like four or five.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
That works.
Yeah.
And so your dad is John McEwen of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And were you into Nitty Gritty Dirt Band when you were a kid? Were you like, yeah, this is good stuff? Like,
I really didn't know what was going on. It was just all of it seemed, it just accepted it for what it was. And I didn't know what was going on probably until I was about 10, didn't start fully making sense.
Really? Because I was into the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band when I was a kid.
I was definitely into the music. See, that's the thing. Yeah.
I remember even their name, though. Like, I always liked that kind of music when I was a kid because I liked to dance fast, you know? Uh-huh. It was about how fast you could dance and they could play so fast. But I loved the name. I remember thinking that was a cool name because it had that rhyming. Yeah. Anyway, it's just a childhood memory of mine.
Well, one of my earliest childhood memories is being backstage at Red Rocks, and the Dirt Band would play there quite frequently, and my dad would also produce this show called the Rocky Mountain Opry once a year and have a series of musicians, number one country artists, you know, for a full weekend of shows at Red Rocks. I get to hang out in that, and the thing that I loved was there was the atmosphere. I could always remember the atmosphere was fun, and everybody was there to have a great time. And when Dad would jump around on stage with his fiddle and the crowd would go crazy, it was just, I didn't really know how to put it. I still don't know how to fully put it into words, but it was just, I guess, infectious. It became very infectious and something that sticks with me to this day, that energy. And
did you feel like you wanted to be like him? Or
no.
No, you were like, nah, that's not.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm very proud of my father and who he is, and we have a lot of similarities. But when I first started playing music, and that's the way I'm like him, I guess. I wanted to play music to relate to him. But I started out with grunge music, and then I was in a hip-hop band. I kind of did the exact opposite for a little while as a punk teenager, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. Even though I grew up in country music, that was my rebellion, I suppose. Even when I play the banjo, I play an awful lot of banjo and write on the banjo these days. I don't play any of his music. I don't play his styles, and I don't do the same. I don't use finger picks. Banjo is just a part of my life. I've heard it my whole life, and it took me until I was about 30 years old to really pick it up because it's a really tough position to be in with a banjo-playing father, and I get fearful of people comparing it without hearing it first, you know, that kind of thing. And we always joked around with him, Dad, it's your instrument. We'll give you some time, you know. We won't play it until we're in our 30s. And
I feel like either if you have a super artistic parent or somebody that's finds some success, you know, in that way, that you do two different things. Either you try to separate yourself from it, and it's not like even a conscious thing. Sometimes it's just like you're saying, like that was his instrument, so you'd let him have it. Same with siblings.
Yeah,
like my daughter doesn't, you know, want to play the same instrument as my son because, you know, that's his thing.
Yeah.
But then eventually, if you're meant to do it, you come around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with the banjo. It just happened. And I'll tell you the story about it in a minute and why I'm playing the banjo now. It's a pretty neat one, I think.
Well, stay tuned for that. Yeah, we're going to find out about that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I wanted to ask you, your first gig was in front of 15,000 people, right? Your first sort of big gig?
Okay, yes.
And so this was when you performed at the Gallivan Center in
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, and you were opening up for John Denver, right?
Yes, yeah, so that how that happened, before then, I played for a few years with the family band, so to speak. And my older brother, Jonathan, he was out on the road by himself at the time. And I guess it was my turn, so to speak. And it was March 17th, 1995. I remember the day because my birthday is March 18th. And it was kind of like a birthday present. My dad's like, hey, I got a birthday present for you. I'm going to take you downtown. Will you play in, I want you to play. I think it's your time to play in front of some people. And he just kind of, yeah, he kind of like made it sound like really like not a big deal. Didn't want me to get worried about it, all that kind of stuff. And just play for a few people. And then, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day. We're going to have a fun party downtown. And I was like, okay, great. And we pull up to the Gallivan Center, which is the outdoor, compare it to the Rockefeller Center of Salt Lake in a way, has an ice skating rink, outdoor stage. And I'm starting to realize the gravity of the situation. It's not only is there a party, it's the Olympic bid party for the Salt Lake City 2002 Winter Olympics. The whole the International Olympic Committee's there. There are 15,000 people packed on the Gallivan Center. There's a Jumbotron. And my dad's like, well, this is the show that I want. I think you're ready. And it was at that point, like 15 minutes later, I had to walk out on stage and I didn't have much time to think about it. And that's how he kind of did it.
It's like pull the Band-Aid off really fast.
Exactly. So see what you're made of, you know. And I get out there and he's backing me up a little bit, but it's like this is my first solo. I'm singing the whole song all the way from front to back, guitar, everything. So nervous. And then he's like, oh, by the way, right before I went out on the stage, John Denver's right there and you're opening for him. He pointed to John Denver.
Wow.
And I was just like, whoa, you know, oh, I hope I don't suck, Dad, you know.
Did you do well? Did you?
I don't remember fully. Yeah. It was so surreal.
Yeah, I bet.
That I actually lost feeling when I was up on stage. And I was kind of just like nervous, but I got through it and I was happy, you know.
Yeah.
So I felt good.
Right.
Nobody booed me off the stage.
That's a lot of, yeah, no doubt. That's a lot of energy.
Yes.
Just take in.
Yeah.
What do you like about that feeling? I'm sure you've had shows of that size since, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Like, what does that feel like?
I always get a little anxious simply because I want it to go over, you know? And I care an awful lot. And you know, nobody wants to do bad, right? You know? So it's just, it's when there's a lot of focus on you,
mm-hmm.
You can feel it. Mm-hmm. And it's quite the charge. It's not like I'm nervous to do it. It's just you're really in the moment, and you are very aware of that.
Right.
So you have to be prepared for that. And I dig it. You know, it's since then, you know, playing on the Tonight Show, and I guess one time on American Idol. But those I was fortunately like the out of focus guy in the background, backing up other artists kind of thing. So I got my feet wet and started getting the nerves out before I actually had to be the guy.
Right. Well, I mean, both of those must be completely surreal because, I mean, especially American Idol, because I would imagine that it's got a lot of like sounds and lights and like,
it's fully produced. It's it's a machine that's quite outstanding.
And probably a little comical in some ways because,
exactly. I was there back. At a certain point, I just had to start laughing when I was hanging out backstage because I was playing for one of the season finales. And I was joining Steve Martin, and he was a special guest on the season finale of American Idol. But as I was hanging out backstage, here comes Gene Simmons, and then Queen Latifah, and then Rod Stewart, and then Cyndi Lauper. And
that's
then
so weird.
And then Steve Martin, you know, and then Jason Mraz, and then all of these. It's just like you're in a weird dream.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know quite when you're gonna wake up.
Yeah.
And then Carlos Santana. Oh, hey, Carlos. You know, it's just like, what is going on?
Because it's pretty intense just to see like one of those people, but then to see them parade past you like that must have been insane.
Quite outstanding. Anyway, it's just a lot of fun to be a part of the machine, you know, even if it's just a fly on the wall.
Mm, cool.
Can I play another tune?
Yes,
okay,
please do.
Cool.
And I'm here with Nathan McEwen.
I got to get this guitar in tune. Speaking of all the travels and growing up on the road, it made me think to want to play this. The time I ever heard this song was when Rodney Crowell sent the reel-to-reel demo to my father sometime around 1983. I was about 3.5 years old at the time, and I remember him, my dad, putting it on the tape machine at the time and hearing it. It was Rodney, his guitar, and Roseanne Cash singing the harmony to a song called Long Hard Road. And the Dirt Man was looking for some more music to record for their upcoming album, and apparently Rodney had a good one, and they went on the year later to make this their first number one country hit out of 17 years of being a band. And the reason I like to play this song, first time I ever heard it was at Evergreen. I've had the good fortune and opportunity to play this with my family over the years, and I'm always reminded of it when I come through here. So, hope you like it.
Sometimes I remember when I stay up late at night. The sun up came and we got up and went. And in the shadows of a working day, I moonlight hours spent singing songs along with grandma's radio. I beaten down that old blacktop road, sleeping in a sack, living my memories on vain. So city lights ain't all that bright compared to what it's like to see the lightning bugs go dancing in the rain. Mama played the guitar then, and Daddy played the banjo when the raindrops played the tin roof like a drum. I just kept on dreaming that a song that I'm singing takes me down the road to where my name is known. And now I've gone, it's a long, hard road. Yeah, I know, it's a long, hard road.
Very nice. And that's A Long Hard Road. And Nathan McEwen is here playing music for us. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome.
So you have a new CD, pretty new, right?
Indeed.
When did this come out? Side by Side.
Last about 6 months ago.
So you collaborated with a lot of great musicians and producers too?
I have the CD Side by Side. Yes, there are a few musicians that I collaborated with and one other producer that helped me with four of the songs. The CD, the inspiration behind this album, it all started when a woman named Russie Taylor came up to me after one of my shows in Pasadena, California. This is about 3 years ago. And she was holding in her hand a banjo case with a banjo in it, of course.
With $1 million inside.
Not an empty banjo case. Anyway, but she had this banjo in her hand, and she basically walked up to me and handed it to me and told me that she wanted me to have it. I've known Russie for about 4 years, so we have somewhat of a relationship, but she felt inspired to give me this instrument. She wanted me to have it. And the banjo, it belonged to her husband, Wayne Allwine, until he passed away in 2009. And Wayne, he was the voice of Mickey Mouse, and Russie, she is the voice of Minnie Mouse. And the thing about this banjo is Russie, she got it custom made for Wayne 1 year for his birthday, and got his initials inscribed in the headstock, and there's a Mickey head also inscribed in the headstock, and one on the inlay of the banjo. It's truly a one-of-a-kind banjo. When Wayne passed away, nobody was playing it anymore, and basically she wanted it to be played again, and she wanted me to have it. And as a way of saying thank you, I ended up writing a couple songs called Mice, Part 1, They Meet, and Mice, Part 2, The Magic, as a way of saying thank you for the banjo, because that just felt like the right thing to do. And so I'm going to get to playing those songs in just a minute, but once I delivered those tunes, I think it was on her birthday a couple of years ago, she fell in love with them and felt so inspired to ask me if I could write one more. And but she told me this time, I have a line for you that I think would be perfect for a song, and I want you to have it. And I was like, wow, okay, great. And as she was telling me, before she told me the line, she said, but I have to let you know, the line was the last thing that Wayne said to me before he passed away. And so here you have Wayne on his deathbed as Russie's walking out of the room. What he said to her is, it's all right, Russie, I have pictures of you in my heart. So she asked me if I could write a song with that line in it. And throughout writing all of this music, those two Mice songs and the Pictures of You in My Heart song, came seven other songs. So that's how this album, getting back to that, that's how this album basically started, the inspiration for it. And I could go on and on about that, maybe more on a different interview.
Well, I just think it's cool that it's really sort of about a love story, that includes Mickey and Minnie Mouse. And I had no idea that they were a couple either.
And they kept it that way on purpose. I believe Disney wanted it, they were kind of hush-hush about that. It was known, but, they didn't really make it a big deal because Mickey and Minnie aren't.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you're right. They're not married.
Yeah. So
they're not even really.
They like each other. That's for sure. Anyway. So yeah, as you say to me, it's one of the truest love stories I could possibly think of, simply because when one voice character mouse finds another voice character mouse, it's pretty specific,
Yeah.
It's like going to Match.com and being like, I'm the voice of Mickey Mouse. Well, I'm the voice of Minnie. And it's like, well, you're 100% match. That only happens one time.
I'm wondering if Mickey and Minnie, if this couple like talked to each other in those voices occasionally. I don't know why I'm picturing.
Well,
just at the dinner table.
You wouldn't be the first. And in my own experience hanging out with Russie, just whether it be going to dinners or whatever, she sometimes will just, whip the voice out, and it's just amazing what happens to the energy in the room.
Nice.
And apparently they used to sometimes, they would do that. Just the thing, whatever.
Yep.
Because they can. All right. So this is for Russie and Wayne. Mice Part 1, They Meet, and Mice Part 2, The Magic. And on the album, there's, you were saying about the musicians, there's a, fiddles and mandolins, upright bass, other stuff joining me. If you could hear what was going on in my head right now, it would be amazing. But all I have for you is the banjo.
All right.
Hope you like
That's
it.
Enough.
Okay, here we go.
Happy. That's a happy, happy song.
Yay.
And that was Mice.
Mice part one, they meet, and Mice part two, the magic. Part two is where it picks up in tempo and all that stuff. And on the recording, a bunch more instruments join in, but you know.
Yeah.
I hope you liked it.
Yeah, I do. I like all your stuff. It's all different.
Well,
like, it seems like every song on the CD would be pretty, like, different from the others.
Yeah, it does that kind of from one album to the next. It's kind of different. It hovers around Americana, a lot of albums, but I kind of have a short attention span, and I kind of even get bored in my own skin sometimes with the music that I'm playing, so I try to mix it up and, you know, just I guess, art, you know, treat it like a piece of art every time, like a canvas, like different painting.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to stick to one painting.
You make it look pretty easy too. Like, you don't look like you're stressed out about trying to get it right. You've been doing this for a long time, huh?
Well, the banjo, that's the funny thing about the banjo. I've only been playing it for about 6 years, and guitar I've been playing since I was 15. But it really, what happened when I picked it up, it was easier for me to communicate through it what I was feeling in my heart. Not to sound cheesy, but it was just really easy for me to, I guess, yeah, just what I said, communicate.
Mm-hmm.
The melodies that I was hearing in my head, the way the strings are set up. And I've been hearing my father, he used to play me banjo when I was going to bed at night. So it's kind of an instrument that echoes through my head anyway.
Very cool. Yeah. And that's Nathan McEwen. You can catch him at the Lark and Sparrow in Montrose this Saturday, starting when?
I believe it starts at 7. And I have a few special guests joining me. Eric Stuckey on mandolin. He's a Montrose native. And also Fred the bus driver. He's also a songwriter. And we pull him up on stage and we back him up. And he's been on the road since 1973 playing his music. And it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, great. Can we go out with one more song?
Absolutely. Can I play a medley of some banjo tunes?
Would you please?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Allie.
Yeah.
What should I play? Let's see here, guys. Ready, boys? All right.